must have gotten up really early this morning, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I've intended to join you earlier, so I'm just happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, we're really happy to have you. So tell the people, I know who you are. Everyone in the United States knows who you are. We've seen videos, and I think most of our viewers have seen videos with you. But please explain who you are.
Well, I want to say, first of all, that I am not as scientifically savvy as the group that I've just been listening to.
Don't worry about it. You're a doctor.
I'm a board-certified emergency physician, also Stanford University-educated attorney. As you know, I founded America's Frontline Doctors, and I brought this because I was concerned about the disinformation, censorship, misinformation that was causing Americans and people across the world to lose their civil rights. I really see myself and our organization as a civil rights organization with the backup of scientists, Panda, yourself, behind us. So I understand the science, of course, I understand the law, but really our role is to roll back the evil by asserting our constitutional rights and hopefully in that way help the rest of the world, really. That's I just want you to understand how I see our mission. I can go on, but that's...
Go on, because this is what we all agree on. This is about our civil rights. This is about basically the destruction of democracy.
Right. It's completely destruction of democracy. So I'll just start with a 10-second joke, and I'm a terrible joke teller, but there's a population in America known as the Amish. I don't know if you all have heard of them. So the Amish live a very kind of off the grid sort of existence. And I'm sort of always been fascinated by them. They seem pretty happy in their lives. So there's a joke that says, why is COVID-19 so uncommon amongst the Amish? Because they don't watch TV.
Perfect. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's exactly it. That's where we're at. So really what I want to do is to bring you up to speed with what we're doing and hopefully give you hope. Reiner, I stand in awe of what you have accomplished in the legal sphere. And I hope to do that a little bit here in America. You probably have seen by now that we filed our first lawsuit.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Lentz and Anna Garner are part of the legal team that is working with you, right?
Okay. Yes, of course. That's right. I forgot for a second. So just to let everybody know, because we see this as a complete encroachment on our civil rights. Obviously, as you all know, the science is so overwhelming that there's something else going on. It has nothing to do with the science. So we decided to push back in a very specific way. In America, they rolled out these vaccines to 12 to 15 year olds. We thought that was a good public relations opportunity to kind of make a splash. And that's the moment we picked. So we asked the judge to stop the rollout of vaccines to this age group. That was the only thing we asked, but we took the opportunity to lay out much of what is wrong, right? So we laid out all about the spike proteins. We laid out, you know, they've got statistically zero risk of death, et cetera. So we made a much bigger case. We led up to the fact that Fauci lied and perjured himself. You know, we laid out a lot of things, but the only thing we asked the judge was please stop giving it to 12 to 15 year olds. The judge came back a few days later. It's very complicated if you're not living in this world. So I wanted him to go with our version, but I just thought it was too big an ask, to be honest. You know, we asked him to just stop it immediately. So he did not, but the case is still proceeding. And the evidence we're putting together is quite overwhelming. We chose a particular area of the country where the judge is more likely to see it our way. So it is, you know, again, we did everything we could to make it go our way. I don't think it's bad news that he didn't go with our way yet. I think our ask initially was very, very aggressive, and it's going to proceed. However, I wanted to come up with a legal theory that's much easier for the judge, right? Because the judge can't understand this. So I think I've come up with it this week, and I've deployed everybody, took all of their attention to it. And with this group, I'm going to share it. Reiner, I think you'll like this one. Really, because really what's the problem? We have mountains of evidence that we're right. But the judges either don't understand it or lack courage, or in America, don't believe it's their role to interfere with the executive branch's decisions, the FDA and the CDC, right? That's not something the judge wants to do. So what if, as a doctor lawyer, we go for a process win, not a substantive win, right? That's how lawyers think. So I thought, why are they able to do all this? Because they're just in America, they're opening up vaccination clinics on the street corners. They're opening up in the school gyms. They just come and get jabbed. That's it. That's never happened before. That's crazy. So I'm writing up the complaint right now. And the complaint is saying the following. The official CDC recommendation is that every person age 12 and older should receive the vaccine. In other words, the CDC has said it's universal, but we are gravely concerned because there's no exclusion of people who have been COVID recovered. And we know that there's a lot of people who have been COVID recovered. It's never happened before that the CDC has rolled out a vaccination policy where you didn't pre-screen the people. Pre-screening has to happen. We have to take a personal family history. We have to take a family history. We have to see if they had a prior PCR test positive, a prior antibody test that's positive, prior T-detect test that's positive. If they've had any of those things and they have proof, they have to be excluded. If they have a history of such things but no proof, they have to be tested. Then you can return 14 days later after you have your T-cell test or your PCR test, and or your antibody test. You also must pre-screen on the spot with a PCR test, because we know that deaths rise as soon as you get the vaccine. We're saying that that's because people are PCR positive and they just didn't know it, right? Isn't that what you're saying, CDC? They're all positive. They must be dropping dead because they're all positive and we didn't know. Therefore, you must pre-screen. So we're not asking you to stop the vaccines. We're asking you to do them just as you've always done with medical pre-screening. I think, that the judge can accept this because we're just asking them to do pre-screening as we've always done in medicine.
This is a three-tiered approach that we're having to deal with as far as vaccines, so-called vaccines. We know they're not vaccines, are concerned. The first question is, are they necessary? And that's what you're alluding to right now, because if you have immunity and you test for that through pre-screening, of course, there's no need for any vaccination.
Right. But the problem is, we know all this is bogus,
yeah.
Right? The problem is that the judge doesn't see as his or her role to overstep the executive branch, the CDC, the FDA, and the HHS, and doesn't know if they're being fooled. But what they can look at is, gee, the process should follow the same process it's always followed, which is doctors always pre-screen things. Let's pre-screen things. So I'm going to put in the evidence that there's harm for the people, right? As soon as they get vaccine, the death rates go up. And I'll put in the link to the fact that people think it's because they've been COVID exposed, 5 minutes before the vaccine. I'm also going to put in the new early data that's supporting that COVID recovered or at higher risk. I got that from Risha McCullough. Right. And I'm like, you got to just do what you've always done. You've got to pre-screen people. And by the way, pre-screen is going to take 3 to 14 days.
I think that's a good approach. It's a novel approach, but it's great. Novel stuff sometimes changes the whole picture.
Well, I was thinking how they got Al Capote for all the deaths was on mail fraud.
They got him for tax evasion.
Tax evasion, right.
Yeah.
So let's just stop it. Let's stop these rollouts so quickly by forcing the pharmaceutical companies to do it more expensively and much slower. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Follow their processes. Mm-hmm. That's a win. That's actually a complete win. They'll just fold.
Mm-hmm. So We saw, at least I saw, a couple of videos with you and a group of doctors, and I think the first one, when it came out, the immediate reaction by the mainstream media was, oh, right-wing, pro-Trump, we can't trust them. So it's always the same reaction, because that's what we're called. We're called Nazi right-wing, or Dr. Vodak or Professor Bhakti. They're all called right-wing, Nazi, anything to avoid having to discuss matters with us. Is that what happened to you too?
Yes, the irony is, I did support Trump, but this actually has nothing to do with that. And in many ways, in many ways, I'm furious at him for how he's handled all of this. I mean, his accomplishment in Operation Warp Speed really dovetailed with what the big pharma wanted. So they kind of allowed that to happen. This was entirely grassroots, as you are, entirely. Mm-hmm. It had nothing. I've never spoken with anyone. And I mean, I've gone and they've invited me to speak at the White House to Pence. I met with anybody I could meet with, but there's never been any political collaboration. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's not true. And by the way, I will happily tell you that America's Frontline Doctors has grown quite large. We have probably 800,000 people who've already come to us, signed up as members,
wow,
subscribers. It's quite large.
That's very large.
Very large. And everybody says they've never seen anything like this. I mean, and where I go, people, you know, thousands of people turn out to hear. And I attribute that to the fact that I'm really just speaking truth, and it's super obvious that I'm speaking the truth.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah, you're authentic. You're not a politician. You're authentic. Yeah.
And everyone, and the other thing is everyone, I mean, normal people can sense that there's something wrong. I watch videos of what's going on in Europe, and it's terrible in America, but it seems much worse in Europe.
Yes.
The people in America are edgy, on edge, like they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely in the last month way more awareness that this is very strange. This thing that happened in America, I don't know if you've heard, as soon as they released their vaccines to 12 to 15 year olds, some locations passed immediate laws saying that the 12 year olds can get it even though it's not approved. And they can get it without parental consent.
Whoa,
and
gosh.
Without parental knowledge. Oh. They don't even have to tell. So the kids are walking into school and they get pressured immediately by the teachers to get the shot. It's incredible. San Francisco did it. Boston did it. There's a few others that have gone at age 14. So they've made new laws just in relation to the COVID and just in relation to being authorized only, not full approval. It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Why that is? Do you think that's the corrupt structure, or like, I mean, what's behind it?
Is it that they're losing their nerves because, like Brian said, they're realizing that we're coming on to them? People are beginning to ask the right questions, and that's why they're pushing so hard, because this is completely unheard of. I mean, without parental consent and without parental knowledge even.
It's dramatic. It's fun to talk to this group because you guys get it exactly. It's so dramatic legally. It's never happened anything like this. Just the rapidity of it, the fact that they went to write in the San Francisco ordinance that authorization qualifies 12 years old. It's unheard of. The good thing, why they're doing it, I got the same speculations that you have. I think it's so dramatic that it can't just be financial. Mm-hmm. Because if they just sit tight another month, like they wouldn't have had to do this. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more than financial. The good thing is people on the nefarious side, they tend to trip themselves up in the execution of their plans. They get ahead of themselves. And if they were just a little bit more patient, they often can win, right? You know, Hitler, I'm sorry, because it's German, but like Hitler, he opened up two fronts. If he had waited, he didn't open up two fronts, things might've gone his way.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like that. This is such a dramatic step. You've probably heard that the governors of various states are offering free college, lottery, money, free ice cream you saw in Canada. Like this is not normal to the American public. So I think, God willing, they've overstepped their hand.
That's making a lot of people nervous.
It's so desperate. I mean, to really come out with this, you know, force it upon the people. It's really strange. It's an agenda. I mean, that's
of
obvious.
Course it's an agenda. This is no coincidence. It's just like Brian Gerrish explained it to us. This, and we've known this all along. I mean, we've spoken. This is our 54th session, I think. We've spoken to over 100 experts from everywhere, experts from all branches of science. And this is the picture that we have now. This is no pandemic. It's never been about health. It's about destroying the mainstream economy. It's about population control, which is a euphemism for a terrible thing that's going on.
Right. And I'm hopeful that because they've overstepped in such specific in such a way that is so emotional to people, right? That your children, you know, we're not a communist country. You don't take the kids and say you're in charge of the kids. There was a YouTube video out just 24 hours ago about in a school, a child calls his her father crying hysterical that the teachers are pressuring her to get a shot. The dad rushes to the school and is like basically attacked by people like, how could you not get the shot? He's like, and he's like flipping out. You know, this kid is in this. I mean, so this is now going around YouTube, and that has nothing to do with the vaccine policy. That really goes to the core of American parenting. And so I'm hopeful that things like that will turn the tide. But I think it's very important not to think we can win in the media. We need a court to rule in our favor. Yeah. End of discussion. That's it. The only two ways forward for America is the court rules in our favor or the people totally refuse. So I'm going around the nation right now. You may have heard going city to city to city to kind of activate the citizens is really what I'm doing. And I'm having success. I mean, people are going to school board meetings and city council, so the people can't comply and we need the courts to rule. So I need to give the court kind of an easy win, which is like, hey, let's just do some pre-screening like we've always done. I think I can get a judge to do that.
What do you think is the ratio of people who are in favor of the measures and of people who are against the measures in the United States?
I think purely on the vaccine itself, I would say probably 60% think you should do it and you should kind of sort of force people to do it. Having said that, what's happened in the last month with the kids, I think has changed that a lot. I think it's probably cut it 50% down to like 30%, because tons of people have a huge problem with the government doing this to kids. So at every opportunity I'm having about the pregnant women and the kids and the school and the parents. So that's been very helpful. It's disappointing that most people don't remotely see what's going on. They still see it as a public health problem. Most people can't think for themselves. That's, as you know, very disappointing as a human being to see that. So I never really talk about that anymore. But your question is good, and it's the angle in America is like the loss of your children and the government coming into your space. I don't think the angle in America is the vaccine is bad for your health.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You know about Tony Roman, right?
I'm not sure what you're referring
to. Are you in California?
Yeah.
Okay. So Tony Roman has a restaurant down in Huntington Beach in L.A. Okay. And he...
Basilicos. Yes, Basilicos.
That's the one. That's the one.
And I love him.
What you're saying mirrors what he says. It's about freedom. It's about individual liberties. And it's about if you go after my child, I'm going to kill you. That's what this is about.
Well, he's Italian. I've met him. I love him. And so he maybe feels even more strongly. But I do think we're not winning on just the health aspect of it. Because I talk to very intelligent people, not even doctors, not people in the space, because the doctors are idiots, honest to God. But just regular people put a lot of faith. Oh, the government's trying to help you. I don't think you can win that way. But they're seeing the government doing such insane things that's the strategy.
That's the point. That's the point. That's why you're saying they're overstepping in a very terrible way.
And by the way, if you look at nefarious actors, that's actually why they fail. Mm-hmm. They overstep. They have an idea in the plan, and then they start believing that it's going to work, and then they go too far too fast. Mm-hmm. I think this is our opportunity, and I do it in the public space by trying to activate the citizens. And I really harp on the fact that government is coming after their kids. They get very alarmed. You know, I'm looking at the people in the audience. They're getting very panicked when I say that, as they should. And then I'm going to the judge and saying, hey, judge, let's just pre-screen like we've done for everything other disease. We got to pre-screen. Why is the CDC not pre-screening?
Okay.
You like that legal strategy, Reiner?
I think I like that legal strategy. I still believe that the PCR test is the real pandemic because this is how it all started. This is what we learned from talking to two former WHO employees. One of them is Astrid, who we spoke to just a minute before we connected with you. The other one is Sylvia Behrend from Austria, and she explained in great detail what really happened. At the beginning of 2020, in January of 2020, I think it was on the 22nd and 23rd of January, the WHO had a first emergency meeting because the pharmaceutical industry was pushing them to announce the public health emergency of international concern, which is pronounced, the acronym is pronounced FAKE. Tells you the whole story, right? That's what they wanted. Why did they want that? They didn't care about the pandemic. They wanted the public health emergency of international concern, because that is the only basis for getting the EUA, the emergency use authorization for the so-called vaccines. And here in Europe, it's the only basis for the conditional use authorization, which was granted by the European Commission, which is completely corrupt, because only yesterday I learned that everyone on this commission knows precisely what's going on. And those who don't care, because they are given orders by someone else.
Listen, I completely agree with you that the PCR testing is the foundational problem that allowed this myth to take hold. But I can see that the judges don't feel confident in their ability to assess medical facts. Plus, typically, a judge would not overrule an executive branch decision.
We are
bringing it. We mentioned it in the TRO.
I spoke to Tom Rentz about it, and I spoke with Anna Garner. The thing that makes it easy to understand is just this very tiny little short story. They pushed so hard, but they couldn't get this emergency group to agree, because there were no cases. What happened so that they changed their mind 14 days later? 14 days later, they had a second emergency meeting, and then they declared the public health emergency of international concern. Why? Because in the meantime, the Dresden test was out there creating thousands of false positives. That is the only basis for the entire thing. That is the foundation for this whole house of cards. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, I know that. Thank you. I'm waiting. Thank you.
I would like to know what's your perspective on the side effects. I mean, have you noticed a lot of side effects do you get reports
from the vaccines?
Yeah. What's your?
Oh yeah. So what's interesting for me about going around the nation is I'm talking to everybody who comes up to me afterwards, right?
Yeah.
All over our nation, doctors are coming and patients are coming up to me saying that they don't have any more COVID cases, but they have so many COVID vaccine injured. I actually didn't expect to hear that, but it's every city, every doctor, I have not yet been to one city where people didn't tell me, you know, they gave my mother the shot. I told them not to give the shot. And then my mother died. I had one doctor tell me he has 4 patients in the hospital, 2 in the ICU, every city. And we can't prove this because nobody reports it to VAERS. But I'm going to put that as an attestation that I am in receipt of that knowledge from every city.
Mm-hmm. That's very important, because now you're an expert. You really are. Yes.
Because people, and the other thing that's interesting is, you know, because as you know, so much information is scrubbed. So America's Frontline Doctors gets emails from all over the world. That's how I knew that there's something going on in terms of this quote unquote shedding. You know, I'm a pretty serious person, as you are. And I don't fall for every little fairy tale that comes along. Everyone asks me about the shedding. I said, what I can tell you is that all over the world, women are having irregular vaginal bleeding all over the world. Like, I don't know. But I mean, I can tell you that I am in receipt of those emails from all over the world. There's no massive worldwide collusion. And I'm also in receipt of doctors and patients in every city that I've visited so far telling me they have COVID vaccine injured or dead people, every city.
And, well, what the statistics are telling us right now, the official statistics, is the following. You've heard this. In the United States, I think Tucker Carlson came out with the numbers from VAERS. And on average, 30 people a day die after vaccination. Now, there's no real proof of causation, but in close proximity, of the vaccination, people die, 30 people a day. And as you pointed out, many of these cases, many of the actual cases are not even reported. Between 1 and 10% of the cases that are being reported. So there's a possibility that instead of 30 people dying per day, it's 3,000. And that's what Brian Gerrish told us, same story. That's what the Israelis told us, a very same story. That's what's happening here as well.
I will tell you that we also, at America's Frontline Doctors, not lately, but for about a month, we were getting emails from very kind of low-level nursing home aides, who many, probably 8 or 10 different ones wrote to us from around the nation, saying, they were like crying. They're like, we've given the shot to our whole nursing home and a third of the nursing home is dead. Like, I can't verify this. I can't prove it. But I'll attest to the fact that I've received multiple emails from multiple different parties saying very similar things.
I didn't want to. We're getting to about 20% of the people who are vaccinated in the nursing homes die within 3 weeks after getting the shots.
Right. So I plan to, and of course everyone's attributing this to, you know, recently being infected with COVID. Give me a break. Sure. But that's good, great, because we're very happy if the judge believes that's true and feels like all these people need to be pre-screened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's lots of stuff going on. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, you just have to, honestly, if you slow them down, it's a win. If we can slow them down, it's a win. But I ask you one question. You asked me about America. I feel like in America, people really believe the government. Is that the case in Europe?
Yes, but people are, it's, the tide is turning. People have become more and more suspicious of our individual governments here in Europe. And it turns out that, and this probably mirrors what Brian Gerrish told us, turns out that many of the people who are now in power, people are wondering, how did they get there? How did, for example, this very young guy by the name of Kurz become Chancellor of Austria? How did this pretty young guy, Macron, became the French president? What about Trudeau in Canada? So it turns out that many of the people who are seemingly running the show are graduates of the so-called Young Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum. So that is probably the agenda that is being pushed. It's the Great Reset thing. It's about...
I think, yeah, thank you for that. I'll share with you that I think Fauci is nervous. I didn't used to say that, but since the Inquisition by Rand Paul, I think he's on the defensive.
I do too. Yeah, they're throwing him under the bus. Yeah. But we shouldn't buy this other false narrative that goes along with this, because some people claim that he's being thrown under the bus because he lied about his involvement with the Wuhan virology lab. Well, he lied about it. He conducted these gain-of-function experiments, and he was using American taxpayers' money. But that is not the point. They're trying to use the Wuhan virology lab in order to keep people in panic mode, because they're still claiming that that's how it started. It was an accident. Well, there was an accident, and that's why the virus is so dangerous. No, it's not. The Wuhan virology lab doesn't have anything to do with this pandemic, with this PCR test pandemic. They just use this as a springboard. Those people who are creating this fear, who are pushing this agenda, they use this as a springboard in order to institute their PCR test pandemic. There is no dangerous virus out there. It's no more dangerous than the common flu. Why do they use this? Why do they need this in order to be able to, in the spring, in the fall and in the winter, when people who got vaccinated, many of whom we expect to fall victim to the actual so-called wild virus, when they show very serious side effects, then they need the dangerous virus story in order to explain to the people, we need more vaccines.
I mean, everyone in the know would agree with you, Reiner. I think it's complicated to expect the average person to follow that, or not to follow that, but even to believe it. It's so overwhelming to believe that you've been lied to on such a massive scale that I'm trying to go for something cheaper and easier.
Yeah, you're right. In the courts of law, we have to be more careful. The time will come. When everything is coming out into the open, but it surely makes sense to
But I want to stop it right now. Mm-hmm. I want to stop it right now. But what you're saying is exactly the truth. Mm-hmm. The virus is just the virus, whatever. Good.
What's interesting is that you have already the next scare scenarios coming up. You know, I mean, the climate change again, lockdown for the climate change, and then I read something about UFOs that are, you know, you don't know. So it's they're preparing some new scare stories. You know,
Permanent panic mode in order to be able to control us.
Which is why, at least as far as America is concerned, my issue is the Constitution. They're going to keep doing this, but we have to hold on to our constitutional rights, free speech, free assemble movement, yes. etc.
Yes.
Right? Because they're going to keep doing this. Exactly. Climate change is going to, it's never ending.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you have, is this a work day for you? Do you have to go to work?
No. I do this full time. I do this 24/7. I occasionally sleep a little and then that's it.
Try to catch some more sleep because you need sleep. We all do.
No, it's not. You know what? I'll sleep when this thing is over. When we've won.
Okay. Well, great. It's great to have you with us. Well. Yeah. We're not going to sleep either from here on.
Exactly. I'm so happy to make all of your acquaintance. It was a really pleasure. If okay with you, I will join whenever I possibly can on Fridays.
That's great. Perfect. Yes. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch, Simone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.